Hello, I'm Jonathan Farrington, and this is the JF Interview Series. My guest today is Kevin F. Davis. Kevin is president and founder at Topline Leadership, Inc. They're based in Reno, Nevada. And he's also the author of the about-to-be-published The Sales Manager's Guide to Greatness, which is Kevin's second book. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you, Jonathan.
It's a pleasure to have you here, as always. And today we're going to be talking about your brand new book, Why Not? The Sales Manager's Guide to Greatness, 10 Essential Strategies for Leading Your Team to the Top. Let's begin by asking you, Kevin, tell us a bit more about your book. And what was your objective for writing it? What were you aiming for?
Well, I had a couple of different reasons. First off, I think there's a mistaken assumption out there that an A-player sales rep will automatically make for an A-player sales manager, even though the two jobs are completely different. You know, recent studies have found that upwards of 80% of all sales managers out there don't receive the training they need in order to do their job. And so for perhaps what is the most difficult job in the world, the person who is responsible for implementing a corporation's strategy with its customers, that person, the frontline sales manager, is left to learn about how to do their job from the school of hard knocks. So the reason why I wrote The Sales Manager's Guide to Greatness was to help fill this gap. I want to help sales managers, regardless of how long they've been in that position, to have a daily operating system, like a consistent approach for managing and leading their salespeople.
So I've read the book, and I enjoyed it very much. And it's my view that it isn't just a book, is it? It's a handbook. It isn't something to be read and then put on the shelf and allowed to gather dust. It's something that all frontline sales managers should have in their desk drawer and refer to often.
Well, I certainly hope so. If a book does not become that, then you know, it might be something that, I mean, there's a lot of business books out there that have a great first chapter, and then the rest is fluff. And
I
took that on as a personal goal to not make that happen with The Sales Manager's Guide to Greatness. So I've had comments from readers that chapters 8 and 9 are some of the most meaningful, important chapters in the whole book. So at least so far, I think I accomplished that objective.
I think you did. I will agree with that, Kevin. I mean, what else makes your book different?
Well, my goal was to provide busy, distracted, overwhelmed sales managers with a guide that's simplified and doable.
Yeah.
That's why the subtitle is 10 Essential Strategies for Leading Your Team to the Top. Not 20 strategies, not 30 strategies, just 10. If you do these 10 things really well, you will create a great sales team that consistently grows revenues.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, look, earlier on in this conversation, you said that, you know, A-player salesmen don't necessarily make A-player sales managers, and I agree with that. You know, I mean, do great salespeople make great sales managers? I know the answer to that. And in the book, you've really highlighted your research and your experience on this. Do you want to expand on that a little?
Well, sure. Thanks. The ones who do become great install a new leadership mindset, and they learn to think differently, and they continue to think differently about their role and responsibilities every day. In my book, I write about 8 sales rep instincts that the best salespeople have mastered that can actually cripple a sales manager's effectiveness. And one example of this is the internal struggle, the internal war between the sales rep instinct to focus on tasks and the leadership mindset to be more focused on people. Now, One reason that many sales managers got promoted and moved up the ranks is because as salespeople, they had extremely high activity levels. They just made more sales calls than everybody else, and that paid off for them. But then they move into the management role, and they maintain that focus on tasks. So in my book, I tell a story about Beth Comstock, who is currently the vice chair at General Electric, the number two executive there. Back in 1998, Beth was an up-and-coming executive being groomed at NBC News, a very deadline-driven business and a property that at the time was owned by General Electric. Well, Jack Welch, the CEO of General Electric, heard about Beth and brought her over to be on his executive team at General Electric. So Jack had the opportunity to interact with Beth in meetings and observe her in hallways and all the other things over the course of a number of months. Well, one day, Beth was having a phone conversation with Jack, and Beth was explaining a certain issue, and in mid-conversation, suddenly the line went dead. Beth scrambled and called Jack's office, and his assistant answered. And she said, "Hey, I was just talking to Jack, and suddenly the line dropped." Welch's assistant said, "Beth, the line didn't drop. Jack hung up on you." A couple of days later, Beth had a one-on-one with Jack and had the opportunity to ask, you know, "What is it? Why did you do that?" And he said, "I did it, Beth, to teach you a lesson, that you are so efficient, you are so deadline-oriented, that you come across as being overly abrupt and curt with others. You need to get to know your people more, focus more on the development of your people, understand what's important to them, and make sure they're with you." And to me, Beth went on to say a couple of things. Number one, that for her, this lesson from Jack Welch, who at the time was one of the most famous CEOs in the world, that this leadership lesson from Jack Welch was the most important leadership lesson she's learned in her career. And point number two she talked about is that today, 15, 16 years later, she's still working on this. She's still working on resisting the temptation to be so pulled into the tasks that she forgets about the importance of connecting with people and understanding what's important to them. Mm-hmm. So one thing we know from behavioral research is this, that the most successful people, people like Beth, people like sales managers, have the most difficult time giving up doing those things that made them successful in the first place. So what great sales managers do is they're able to make that mental transition from selling to leading and implement and replace the sales rep instincts that limit their leadership effectiveness with new mindsets that help them become more effective sales team leaders.
Mm-hmm. That that rather leads me into my next question, Kevin. I mean, you discuss a number of essential skills that managers need to take on board when they move into sales management in your book, but you do devote an awful lot of space to coaching. And yeah, I want to ask you, what's the most important message that you would send out to sales managers about the need to develop their coaching skills?
Well, I hate to say this since I was once a sales rep myself, but most salespeople overestimate their strengths and minimize their weaknesses. This is human nature, I think. It's how we all go through life, dealing with the difficulties and continuing to feel positive about ourselves. The problem is that when a sales rep on your sales team thinks they're a better salesperson than they really are, they don't tend to go to their manager and ask for coaching. And that means their skills over time can stagnate, and they can be losing deals that they should be winning, and they may not even know why. So my advice for sales managers is simply this. Don't sit back and wait for your salespeople to come to you and ask for coaching. You've got to be proactive and take coaching to your people. It's quite possible that the sales reps who are the least needy of you in terms of asking for your time and attention might be the salespeople who need and would benefit the most from your coaching. So have the mindset that everybody on your team can get better, but to make that happen, you've got to do more observation, you've got to be more proactive about scheduling ongoing coaching one-on-one sessions so you can share your talents and insights and instill the heart and mind that help make you a success into that of your people.
I think it's also your experience, because we have discussed this over the past few years, that generally sales managers think they're doing a good job coaching. They think they're doing enough coaching. But my experience certainly has been that isn't the case. Is that your experience too?
Yeah, Jonathan. And I think there's a couple different issues here. One problem is that many sales managers think that coaching salespeople is sitting down with a rep on a one-on-one on a regular basis to, you know, manage their performance, essentially review their numbers, comment on the opportunities in their pipeline, look at their activity level. I mean, this is what I would call sales performance management. The manager is looking to what the sales rep has done in the past and providing feedback based on that. The problem is that feedback is disconnected by weeks and months from the actual skill, strategy, or application that led to what we're talking about right now. In other words, because sales processes take a long time, we're providing feedback that we didn't actually observe about something the sales rep did 2, 3, 4 weeks ago. And so our feedback can't be that specific, which means it's not very helpful. And there's actually another issue on top of this, which is sales managers think they're coaching, but they're not. And there was some interesting research recently done by the Sales Management Association where they interviewed sales managers, a bunch of them, and they asked, what are all the different topics that you, when you coach salespeople, what are all the things that you're talking about in those coaching conversations? And then they looked at all these different topics, and they have various topics like discussing sales opportunities, talking about proposals, territory management, identifying skill deficiencies, and other topics as well. Well, then what the Sales Management Association said is, what is the frequency of how often you discuss each of these topics with your reps? And way down at the bottom, number 12 out of 13, was identify skill deficiencies. And yet, when they looked at the correlation between the value of a topic and revenue growth, the number one most important topic for coaching for revenue growth was identifying skill deficiencies. So the point is that, you know, if a sales manager is not identifying skill deficiencies, then they're just not coaching for revenue growth. I define sales coaching as a daily commitment to identify the skill deficiencies and, of course, in some cases, will or attitude deficiencies, and develop salespeople to become sales masters and focus on knowing. I mean, here's just one final key point on this topic. Think about one of the sales reps on your team. What are two or three things that person needs to do in order to get better? Now, if you don't know the answer to that as a coach, neither does your salesperson. And that's
we all know, well, at least we all ought to have recognized that we've seen more changes within the sales space in the last 5 years than we did in the previous 50. And that essentially should suggest to us that the skills necessary to be successful have changed. And therefore, this is where coaching comes into its own, doesn't it, Kevin? It's the manager having the ability to recognize the skills that are going to be required in the future and not just keep simply coaching the same old, same old.
Absolutely, Jonathan. And, you know, kind of added on to this issue is, I don't know if you hear this in the marketplace, but I know I do, that you mentioned the changing buyer behavior over the last 5 to 10 years.
Mm.
And what I'm hearing is that many customers aren't objecting to salespeople today the way they did in the past. I mean, salespeople just don't hear objections like they used to. Most times, customers today, they just kind of go away. Well, that's, objections are an important form of feedback for a salesperson in terms of what he or she needs to do or change in order to get better. But if they're not hearing objections from customers like they used to, then they're missing an important form of feedback on how they can get better, and that makes proactive sales coaching all the more important given the dynamics of today's marketplace.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. And going away, we call that voting with their feet, Kevin.
Radio silence.
Yeah. It's fascinating. I said that I've read the book. I will read it again. And I very much enjoyed it, which is why I wrote what I did about it. Kevin,
well,
I know that you're now preparing for the official publication, which comes out on March the 28th. But I also understand that Amazon are releasing pre-orders already, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, which is good news. So for anyone that wants to place the order, the book is called The Sales Manager's Guide to Greatness. The author, my guest today, is Kevin F. Davis. Kevin also, away from the company site, has his own site, which is simply KevinFDavis, all one word, .com. And there you'll find all the details that you need to know about the book, and you can dash over, either pre-order or place your order from March the 28th. Kevin, is there anything else that you'd like to add to what we've discussed today? Very, very quickly, of course, because we are constrained by time.
Well, I just think that if every sales manager listening to this conversation takes great pride in becoming and took great pride in becoming a master at the science of selling. And that mastery helped propel them into a sales management leadership role. I would encourage them to set as a goal to become even more masterful at the skills of sales leadership than they are at the skills of selling.
Yeah. Good final words. So, Kevin, thank you again for joining me. We wish you every success with the new book. We will, of course, be supporting you with everything that we have at our fingertips and giving you all the support that we possibly can. So thank you again.
Thank you, Jonathan. And if any of your listeners would like to follow me on Twitter, my handle is @KevinFDavis.
Good. Okay. Thank you for that, Kevin. Okay, listeners, as I always say, I hope you enjoyed that. I certainly did. I enjoy reading Kevin's book. I enjoyed discussing it with him before he even started writing it. It's spot on. And I'm going to leave you with this final thought. Show me an underperforming sales team, and I'll show you an inefficient, poorly trained, poorly qualified sales manager. It's books like these that can make the big difference between success and failure. The average tenure of a new sales manager is now 18 months. And that number is coming down quite dramatically. So do take the time to continue your education, grab yourself a copy of The Sales Manager's Guide to Greatness, and discover what it can do for you. This is Jonathan Farrington. Thank you for joining us. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.